Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Talking about Dr. Israel, he's actually on the line. Dr. Israel, how are you?
Hi, nice to be with you.
Dr. Israel, thank you so much for joining us. I need to ask you, the vaccine, everybody's talking about it. Everybody's talking about the fact that it's so necessary. We've seen some really high profile people internationally that are taking it. We know it's going to arrive in South Africa sooner rather than later. The question is, should we get the vaccine as soon as we possibly can, and will we have access to it if we want access to it? We know that it's going to be limited in terms of public distribution to 10% of the population, but will we be able to access it as normal citizens?
So I think the important thing to focus on here is what our attitudes should be towards the vaccine, because we've seen a lot of hold up on the South African side. And looking into this a bit more, you know, there was hold up as to whether the Solidarity Fund was ready yet and whether the government was ready yet to make the right contributions. And therefore South Africa was put at a certain, placing as to when its time would come. But without making this discussion about that now, and we can have that discussion at another time, I think it would be very unfortunate if the vaccine, came to South Africa, and then we had the arduous task of trying to convince the public that it was actually a good thing to do and to get the vaccine, because we've seen in research done, and even in Israel, there was research done that showed that a good percentage of the public was quite dubious as to whether to take the vaccine. So what I just wanted to address for a couple of minutes was, you know, in light of the fact that this is a brand new vaccine, should you be confident to take it? And Chad, if I could mention a few things here. It's important to know that the process of developing a coronavirus vaccine started way before COVID-19. We know that there have been other coronaviruses before, less serious ones. We also know that with MERS, for example, a similar virus, there was a whole research and part in immunology that started developing these vaccines. And COVID-19 has really been the boost that's pushed these vaccines developments to the fore. So that should allay a little bit of, this is not a new technology that's never been looked at before. That's number one. Number two, there have been over 200,000 people who have now volunteered in terms of the development of these vaccines, and over a million people in the world. And even though who have now had it initial rollout, and even though you read in the news about people having adverse effects, they really are few and far between statistically, compared to the large rollout with no ill effects. So, you know, this is a situation where the risk of getting complicated by COVID is much, much bigger than the risk of getting a complication of a vaccine.
Okay, and tell us, with the statistics that came out yesterday, they said there was 9,500 new cases. Are we seeing a bigger spike than we anticipated if we go back to, say, June of this year?
So we weren't even sure at some stage whether South Africa, there were those optimists who weren't sure whether South Africa would have a second wave. Most good epidemiologists, I believe, said that South Africa would. There was no reason why not. And we are seeing a big spike here. If you look at you can Google it. If you look at the graph, you'll see there is a big spike at the moment. And the thought is that after these December holidays, we might even have a bigger spike because of the amount of, socializing and relaxation of methods of socializing with people on holiday. It is a big problem at the moment. It is a real, real pity from a vaccine discussion that we don't have the vaccine already available, because if we did, that would certainly, flatten that curve.
So a question that everybody is still looking for answers for, and I'm hoping you can give clarity. When one looks at yesterday's statistics, Northern Cape, it's so nominal, it doesn't even register deaths. But then you go to the Western Cape, where there were 142 deaths. KZN, down at 45, in the Eastern Cape again, a high number, 107. Why is it so significantly higher in the Western, the Eastern Cape compared to the rest of the country?
I think the biggest reason for this is the is the density of the population in those areas. In the Northern Cape, I mean, obviously in every province you're going to have areas where there are towns and cities and townships but if you look when this hotspot starts to occur and you have a lot of movements of people within that hotspot, particularly if they're not social distancing and mask wearing, etc. And I've been very vocal on this because I believe that even if you live in a hotspot or on holiday in a hotspot, as long as you're doing the right things in the four amorts around you, you're pretty safe. But in those areas where it's very dense and there's a lot of spread, you're going to have a big uptake. Now there are theories that, you know, with this new strain of coronavirus, that in these areas, you know, because we think we see the viral load is higher, that perhaps there's more of the new strain there and that's why it's higher. But we saw this in the first wave too. We saw in the first wave that it started, I don't know if you remember, but there was a time when the Western Cape was much higher than Gauteng, and people said it won't come as much to Gauteng, and then it spiked in Gauteng. So this is an evolutionary process, and I think what will happen is, I could be wrong, but in weeks to come, you'll find that it will spread to other areas, but not so much to rural areas where the population spread out more.
I really appreciate that explanation. It makes a lot of sense when one looks at areas like the Northern Cape, certain parts of Mpumalanga and Limpopo, but obviously nobody can take chances anywhere in the country. And as you said, wear a mask. Thank you so much for joining us. That's Dr. Daniel Israel, and he is a general practitioner operating out of Bluebird, and he keeps us up to date and gives us the nitty-gritty on what's happening in COVID, something that's impacting on all of us.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.